You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Take one. Knock, knock.
Who does?
We're Stephen and Dana, and we can't believe you found our fucking podcast.
We're so glad you're listening to it. We would never listen to it.
I don't even want to listen to it to edit it.
I don't even want to wake up in the morning. We're Stephen and Dana, and we're in the room.
Guess what?
Wait, your
this
last
is me after
name,
seeing Sweeney
your
Todd.
Name rhymes with egg.
Yeah, it rhymes with a lot of things.
A bacon, Craig, and cheese.
Greg.
Craig.
Preg.
Green Craigs and ham.
Yes. Wow, what a
deviled,
what a tangent.
Deviled Craigs. Craigs Benedict. How do you like your Craigs?
Wait,
sunny
oh
side
my God,
up.
I didn't tell you. When you called me to record just now, I was making hard-boiled eggs because guess who got an egg cooker? Me, motherfuckers, me.
Mazel tov.
This is not a sponsor of the podcast, but girlfriend is doing Weight Watchers, and girlfriend plugs in her food every day, and girlfriend gets
it's
some
WW
points,
now.
And then girlfriend... WW for those of you who are like living under rocks, honey. So you get points and then you get to like buy things with those points. And I had enough points to get an egg cooker and I snatched it up and my dad is impressed with it. He's like, can we buy eggs and like do the egg thing? Yes, we can. We can. But that's not what today's episode is about.
It's not. Separate pod.
Separate pod. Separate pod for Sweeney Todd. Mm. I enjoyed it. I'm just going to say it up top. 5 stars from Dana Craig.
Well,
for Sweeney Todd.
I think it's 5 stars for most things. Something I wanted to tell you just like before we start diving into it is I thought it would be interesting to like let you know what some of the other shows were that season to kind of paint a picture of the larger Broadway tapestry.
Yes, as in a historical moment, yes.
Yeah, just important. To see, like, you know, what was it up against? So
what year are we talking?
It's, so looking at, you know, the Tony Awards as a benchmarker, if you will, it was the 1979 yes. Tonys, the 33rd annual, June 3rd from the Schubert Theater. So Sweeney Todd got the most nominations that season with 9.
Oh. Yeah, snaps for Todd.
But now
snaps.
We hear about shows getting 14, 15 nominations.
Uh-huh,
I thought that was
uh-huh.
interesting perspective. It won 8 of them. It was also up there with Ballroom and Best Little Whorehouse in Texas and Elephant Man and Yubi and The Grand Tour.
Okay.
Bedroom Farce. I'm unfamiliar with Bedroom Farce. But, who hosted? The hosts were Jane Alexander, Henry Fonda, and Liv Ullmann. Henry Fonda received a special award, which was presented by his daughter, Jane Fonda.
Wow, so Sweeney swept.
Sweeney swept. 8 out of its 9 nominations.
Well, great.
Huge.
I'm assuming that there have been more categories added to the award ceremony since then, so maybe that's why there are more to be ticked.
Yeah, certainly.
Very cool. I love that. Thank you for the historical accuracy.
You're welcome. Oh, they're playing our song was that year as well?
Well, shall I dive into my experience?
Yes.
Aren't you just on the edge of your seat?
Dana, what did you think of Sweeney Todd?
This is what I thought of Sweeney Todd. Buckle your seatbelts and sit back now. I'm going to tell you about Sweeney Todd. Here I go. Okay, so here I am. I'm going to set the scene for Sweeney Todd. Here's the thing. I like to multitask. I like to do 2 things at once. So I'm going to take a bath, all right? So I'm at home in Wisconsin. We have a bathtub, and this is like luxuriousness for me. And so I was like, I'm going to watch Sweeney Todd. I'm going to light some candles. I'm going to at least start it. I'm going to, you know, like sit in there for like 20, 30 minutes. Great. So that's what I did. I decide to also give myself a pedicure, if you will. And I have one of those, like, I think it's a literal cheese grater. I get my pedicure file. I'm scraping away. I get to the point where I'm, like, by my toes. So, like, the piggies, the little piggies. And you got to be careful with those little piggies.
Do we go to market?
If you nick one of those little piggies, ooh, they're going to bleed. And guess what? I bled all over the white bath mat that says bath on it whilst watching the bloody musical that is Sweeney Todd. That is not lost on me. I thought that was hilarious. Of course I'm watching this.
Immersive theater.
While I'm dripping blood all over the bathroom, trying to have a luxurious moment. And here I am. Like, my foot is covered in blood. I'm trying to find Band-Aids. It's at the bottom of my body. So literally all the blood is rushing to it and out of it onto the floor. I had to reset up my situation. I go into my bedroom. I elevate my foot. It is now Band-Aided. I elevate my foot on pillows. I'm in bed watching
You're a disaster. Todd.
I'm a disaster, but now we're in a place to, like, really take it in. I am obsessed with Angela Lansbury's performance and her choices.
Isn't she funny?
Oddity. So funny. And I know her. I grew up with her as, like, the, you know, Mrs. Teapot, whatever, in Beauty and the Beast and Murder, She Sat Down and She Wrote, as RuPaul likes to call it. I grew up with that version of her.
Mm-hmm.
And this is her, pardon me, but, like, this is her funny girl. Oh, you know what I mean?
It's you gotta go back further and watch Court Jester with her, and I think it's Danny Kaye.
I love Danny Kaye. All right, I need to see more of her in these comedic roles. Yeah.
And she has, like, this long blonde hair. She looks like Rapunzel.
I'm also curious about, like, who else has played Mrs. Lovett, because that is a role that is, I can imagine, would be so fun, so technically hard to master, mm-hmm. because it is so patter-songy. It's very, you can choose to do a lot of physical comedy if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious of the reincarnations.
I'm going to tell you some of them.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. First of all, it just caught my eye, and it's funny because we have a friend of the same name. The second London revival in 2004, Mrs. Lovett was played by Karen Mann.
Yes, we do also know another
Karen Mann. I would love to see our Karen Mann.
Yes.
But we've had a Beth Fowler, we've had a Julia McKenzie, we've had a Patti LuPone, a Judy Kaye, an Imelda Staunton.
Wow. And then I want to know if they've made the same choices as Angela Lansbury's character. Like, how rooted in those physical choices, how rooted in those voice choices. I mean, she's really giving you some very, what do I want to say? Like, they're so particular mm-hmm. to that performance.
Yeah, every production I've seen, I didn't see the Patty revival, but I've seen, obviously, I researched the hell out of it and all of that. And I know that that production was different. Angela's Lovett would have fit into that production as a choice. So I'm going to say that that's, like, a notable exception. Other, like, regional kind of straighter versions of Sweeney Todd that are more
mm-hmm.
tradish. Yeah, she's always, like, a funny character woman. That is important. It's interesting to see where the individuality comes out in different performances yeah. because, I mean, it's the gold standard, Angela's. That's Lovett.
Yeah. That's Lovett, says Stephen. That's Lovett. I kept seeing Annie Golden.
Sure. I'm sure she's done it somewhere. You know?
Yeah. There were moments where I kept seeing, like, different women appear, and I'm like, oh, Melissa McCarthy would do that moment really well.
Fears.
So much talk of yellow hair.
There's tawny and there's gold and saffron. There's flaxen and there's gold. So I was in San Francisco on Halloween one year. I went to see my friend. I was going to LA by way of San Francisco. And I was like, I'll do a day. And friend of the podcast, Tori Ross Roman, was in a production of Sweeney Todd as Levitt. So we went on Halloween night.
Oh, fun!
And we were like, are people going to be dressed up at Sweeney yes. Todd? I was like, should we go as a greenfinch and a linnet bird or like tawny and golden saffron?
Or like a meat pie?
You know, what's the nichiest like couple's Halloween costume that she and I could think of? Reminiscent of that episode of Will and Grace where they're at the Sound of Music sing-along. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes. We opted not to because we were like, no, people aren't going to dress up like Saturday night at the theater. We get there. We're the only people in jeans and blazers.
I was going to say, that was my thought. Yeah, it's Halloween night. It is their version of Rocky Horror,
San Francisco.
Right?
I mean, it's
San Francisco.
Can you imagine a Rocky Horror style Sweeney Todd? I guess the closest we've had is the production that was in London and then came here, where it was like set in an actual pie shop and you were sitting at like a pie shop table and
I love that. Immersive theater. I was also struck by how bloody and dark it actually is.
Yeah, they were trying to scare people. I mean, before Sweeney Todd, I mean, certainly I wasn't there, but historically speaking, from what I've read, I can't think of a musical, a like commercially successful musical that was like actually scary. So they really wanted to like make a horror musical. And I think they did.
That's also brilliant that they got a you know, this beloved, tender, professional woman of the theater, that is Angela Lansbury, to play this comedically over the top kind of vaudevillian character.
Yeah.
But it's like a horror musical. Like, I love that dichotomy. It's brilliant.
Yeah, certainly by the end, you know, if you're at any at any production of Sweeney Todd worth its salt, by the end you're scared no matter how many times you've seen it. That whole last sequence, you're kind of on the edge of your seat, like, oh my god, this is it, it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
but you also get the laughs. You get Little Priest, which is 7 minutes of wordplay, which is literally our first date, you know?
Yeah.
So you get both extremes. You get to laugh really hard, and then you get to be scared, and they kind of leave you on the scary note. There's very little relief.
I loved the set. It was giving me very, like, London Kinky Boots workplace comedy vibes, where you have your central spinning orb, and then on top you have the work station. So that was very Kinky Bootsy that I could
You have the lens. You have the kinky lens.
I do. I have the kinky lens now. Yeah, brilliant kind of use of the stage as well. And the fact that it was kind of bare, is that fair to say? Like, there wasn't a whole lot of like extra shit happening beyond that central orb.
Yeah,
that
no.
Spins.
It did win. It won Best Scenic Design, Eugene Lee.
Okay, thanks, Eugene Lee. I mentioned Toby before, and I laughed so hard because he... that wig, first of all.
That mop.
Can we talk about...
Also something out of the Kinky Boots factory.
Yeah. Derivative... if nothing else, is Kinky Boots. No, Toby reminded me of someone, and I had to think long and hard about who it was. And it was Tim Conway, who plays the oldest man on the Carol Burnett Show. And he has that same wig, and he shuffles through his scenes. And I'm like, oh my God, that's Toby.
You're not
Stephen
wrong.
Stephen Sondheim said, I want Toby to look like Tim Conway. So funny. That character is just so, like, it was giving me, like, Of Mice and Men vibes, too, of, like, he doesn't know his own strength, or, like, he just wants to help. He's a little, like, off.
Sure. Whenever,
He's tender and off.
Yeah. Whenever I'm waiting for the train, or, and that comes over the speaker, they go, ladies and gentlemen, I always think, may I have your attention, please?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Pretty Women. Pretty Women. Had no idea it was such a creepy song. It's so creepy.
It's super
creepy.
I don't
ever want any man to be singing like that about me. Especially if they were like my father figure. Gross. I hated it. But I like when Barbara Streisand sings it.
Well. Because you can picture her sitting in her vanity, like singing it as she's brushing her mane. Pretty
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful song, but I literally had no idea of the actual context.
Sure.
So now we're aware. Mm-hmm. We are aware.
Grim.
But yeah, I'm just gobsmacked by Angela Lansbury and how fun for a musical theater actor. I mean, it's not even like you don't have to be Whitney Houston to play it. You know, like you don't have to be like technically great at singing. Like that isn't a necessity.
Yeah, it's not a terribly rangy role. It's you got to be an actress who sings.
I would love to see a lot of women play that role. How fun.
I love that you said Melissa McCarthy. That would be a hoot, I think.
That's a really cool choice. I don't know if I've ever seen her do anything like in the musical realm.
She sang a duet with Barbara Streisand on her fucking album. Barbara did that album, all the duets. And they sang together.
You're right.
I think they did Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better.
Oh, well, that's in the same vein.
Is that right? Like, I don't know.
No, that sounds perfect. Yeah.
I want to know what track it is now. I have to look. Melissa McCarthy, Barbara. Yeah, Anything You Can Do. Song by Barbara Streisand.
Thank you for that reminder. Ah! Thank you. No,
and I think Barbara, like, with that album, made a series of, like, music videos of them recording it.
Yes.
So I think you can watch it visually in some capacity.
Not unlike the Celine Dion Tell Him music video, where it's just, you know, in the recording booth.
In the booth.
I want someone tender. I want someone who you fall in love with, who you believe. I don't want someone scary starting out with as Mrs. Lovett. No.
Let me ask you this. I don't know that this is a question that's widely debated in the Sweeney Todd circles. in the Sweeney Todd meetup groups.
Sweeney Todd Reddit threads.
But I always like to ask it. Who do you think is the truer villain, Mrs. Lovett or Sweeney Todd?
That's a great question. I think they're both, they're made for each other, obviously.
Soulmates.
It's a little bit like the Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell friendship, right?
Or as Lainey Kazan puts it.
She's obsessed with him.
As Lady Kazan says in My Big Fat Greek Wedding, the man is the head, but the woman is the neck, and she can turn the head any way she wants.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank so you. I kind of see it like Lovett's, true. Lovett's pulling the strings. He's
Lovett's the puppet.
Kind of just a puppet. He's a puppet with a brain and a reason and certainly is not faultless. I don't know. I kind of don't know if his own brain would have gone that route as a solution without her kind of planting that seed first. You know, she introduces Little Priest. Lovett certainly introduces the idea of putting people into pies, you know? And it's, she's like, because my neighbor does it.
Was he wrongfully imprisoned?
Yeah.
So he wasn't like that before?
As far as we know, that's actually a good question. Was he falsely imprisoned? We're certainly meant to believe so, that he was, you know, banished from England wrongfully. And separated from his daughter because the whole point was to isolate Joanna, his daughter. So he's banished, and he like comes back under the assumed name of Sweeney Todd.
And then all of a sudden just becomes murderous.
And wackiness ensues.
Yeah. Yeah, that's creepy. I think she certainly fans the flame, but the flame is there.
Right. But we also have to remember his first plan was to just establish the barbershop and, like, get the judge in there and then kill the judge. I think that was always his intention, was to kill the judge.
Yeah. But she juices him up.
Yeah. Yeah. She knows what she's doing when she pulls out those blades. You could be a barber again. I love that song. My friends. Oh, it's my favorite. It's my favorite. Clearly yours too.
Nothing's gonna harm you. Not while I'm around.
Yeah, I want to hear Eliza Doolittle audition for Sweeney Todd. Or Corky St. Clair.
No, it's a technically... I can see how it would be technically hard to do for any, like, community theater or...
I know a guy who petitioned. He fought hard, and he won, for his high school, his senior year musical, to be Sweeney Todd. And he was going to be Sweeney, and he was talented. He was one of, like, the theater kids that would go on to be a professional theater kid. So he was like, I want my senior musical to be Sweeney Todd. I want to play Sweeney. I want to direct it. I think he directed it. He was like, I will do everything. I will do everything. You just have to let me do it. And they were like, we can't because of the content. So we petitioned and like got enough, you know, whatever. So we went and saw that. I think that was the first time I saw Sweeney Todd live.
Whoa. Okay.
I think. I'd certainly seen Angela Pryor. For a hard one to do. Yeah, it's because, you know, we talk about how Lovett maybe isn't the rangiest role in the canon, but it's certainly one of the harder Sondheim scores, I think. It's an opera.
Yeah.
It's a lot of words. And it's a lot of music. I think it's harder than maybe Merrily We Roll Along.
Yeah, I could see that being a thing. Perhaps. Pray tell.
Perhaps.
Well, I mean, that's all I have to say at this point after my first viewing.
Great. I do just want to tell you...
I'm glad I saw it.
Because now that I'm thinking of it, I thought it would be interesting to tell you kind of where it nestles in with Sondheim's work.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so what came before it? What came after?
Yeah, so what came immediately after was Merrily We Roll Along. Sweeney Todd was 79, Merrily was 81. Right before Sweeney Todd was Pacific Overtures in 1976.
Jumping around.
Little Night Music was 73, Follies was 71, and Company was 70. Busy decade. Okay. Busy decade.
There were some company moments that I could tell melodically is, you know, a Sondheim stamp.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always little moments. Sometimes it's like cross show. Sometimes it's like the same composer but different show or whatever. But I always love when I can just hear the three notes. They're like, oh, you were inspired.
Listen, if it goes da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, it's Sondheim.
Basically.
If it sounds like Mario and Luigi running through a castle, it's Sondheim.
Which we should also, side note, John and I recently revisited the Documentary Now company spoof.
Yes!
That they did.
Paula Pell, my girlfriend.
It's so good. I had seen it when it first came out, but it was a good thing to revisit. I kind of didn't know I wanted to revisit it. We had watched Grey Gardens, and John put the Documentary Now on of that.
Oh, it was like, brilliant.
We gotta watch the company one. So we watched the company one, and then I showed him the original one so that I could see him realize how good it actually was.
The thing that I love about the Grey Gardens Documentary Now and the company Documentary Now is because for you and me and us and our people and our tribe and, like, you know, the thing, to have, first of all, comedians who are straight men who get it. They've done it.
The popular kids are saying that what we're into is cool.
Exactly. It's validation. Thank you.
It's straight up validation. And, like, I thought about that. I'm like, how many people watched this co-op and thought it was so funny that they went and, like, had to hunt down recording the original Broadway cast album of Company and watch it?
Many people. Yeah.
Because that's it's not a fun watch. That DVD.
If that's not your culture, if that's not your pop culture reference or interest.
Yeah, if that's not your jam, it's
weird.
Really boring, and it gets really uncomfortable.
Sure, yeah.
It gets very late and very uncomfortable.
I love John Mulaney for those reasons, and I was just very impressed when those came out because I was like, I actually don't want anyone else but these folks to do this.
Yeah. It was funny. Like rap theater.
I want Fred Armisen to be in Grey Gardens. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Thank you for combining these two worlds. You know, it mashed really well.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It just made me glad to think that a whole new batch of people know what wrong is.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, it's that. It's the whole new batch of people-ness of it. It's Liza Minnelli at the Super Bowl, you know?
Happy Super Bowl!
Happy Super Bowl! That's
what's on your menu?
I have no dog in that fight whatsoever.
Neither do I, but I do have a new recipe marinating in the fridge.
What, pray tell?
Greek wings.
Is there a tzatziki sauce that goes with them?
No, but they're marinated in, like, lemon juice and olive oil and oregano and salt and pepper. Marinate them, do them in the oven for, like, an hour.
And then
crumble feta on top with, like, some fresh parsley, some fresh lemon juice. Feta's always in my fridge.
It's a good cheese. Well, that's my Sweeney Todd episode.
It's a good cheese.
That's a good cheese.
In a scale of 5 rooms, how many rooms would you give Sweeney Todd?
Oh, 5.
5 out of 5 rooms.
5 out of 5 rooms. And I put on Instagram, I was like, how many people do not know Sweeney Todd? Like, do you know it really well or, like, not at all? And I think 75% said yes, they knew it really well. Not surprisingly.
I saw a couple people, like, shocked in the comments to see that Dana did not know Sweeney Todd.
Listen, I'm an onion. I'm a mere human.
And now you're better. Now you're smarter. You can leave quarantine. Yeah. You can enter the big city again. People say, hey, what did you do for the last year and a half? You're going to be like, you know what I did? I saw Sweeney Todd.
Not for nothing. That's pretty spectacular.
I saw Sweeney Todd. What the fuck did you do?
Oh, you had a kid and got married? I saw Sweeney Todd.
You started a small business? What? I saw Sweeney Todd. Fuck you. Fuck you and your business.
You cured your own cancer? I watched Sweeney Todd. Mm-hmm. Sweeney Todd.
Look how smart I am. You're just going to walk into rooms and people are going to be like, you got smarter.
Oh my God, there's like a halo around me and stars coming out of my ears. Sweeney Todd. Anyway, next episode, we are going to tackle how to succeed in business without really trying.
Yeah, so I think we're doing these monthly. So our March episode will be how to succeed in business without really trying.
I know it. Steven doesn't. So that's the point of this series.
I'm excited. I have heard it's a good, like, baritone character.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And I've always been like, okay, I should familiarize myself. And I just...
It's definitely a good showcase for that character. For the Matthew Broderick of it all. It's your Mrs. Lovett. No, just kidding. It's not. But again, it's a workplace comedy. Yeah.
Sign me up. Everyone knows Superstore is my favorite show.
Everyone.
That's a workplace comedy.
Anyway, so until next time.
Until next time. Bye. Bye.
Pretty women.
Pretty women sipping coffee.
In the Room with Stephen and Dana is produced by Stephen Farazee
and Dana Craig. Special thanks to Joel Wagoner for tinkling the ivories on our theme song. Hit him up at joelwagoner.com.
We apologize, and you're welcome. We'd also like to thank Jesse Wiener, W-I-E-N-E-R, for our jazzy original music sprinkled throughout each episode.
You can find him at jessewiener.com.
Last but certainly not least, we'd like to thank Kevin Thomas Garcia for taking all of our ridiculous photos. You can find him online at ktgnyc.com. We are all over the internet on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at In The Room Pod.
Follow us, like us, share us, pimp us out. And don't forget to subscribe to In The Room Podcast. We everywhere, so subscribe. And thank you so much for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.